As you've been hearing, it was literally 1 minute to midnight when the last American plane left Afghanistan this week. The Taliban fired their guns in celebration. They now control the country. So what's the fate of Afghans who still need to leave? Australia's airlifted about 4,000 people under pressure to take 20,000 refugees. But that is a drop in the ocean if the latest estimate from the UN High Commission for Refugees is correct. Dr. Tazreena Sajjad is a refugee and migration expert at the School of International Service at the American University. She joined me from Washington.
It's still early days just because the situation on the ground is unfolding. Now, the UN estimate is about 500,000. Again, that could be a conservative estimate. A lot will depend on how many people are actually able to cross the borders. The vast majority of that 500,000 will not be crossing through formal evacuation procedures and certainly will not be leaving through chartered flights. So there'll be a lot of irregular movement of people into neighboring countries. And there'll be perhaps a larger number who will continue to be displaced internally inside Afghanistan.
Internally displaced peoples. We have seen this tragedy across the Middle East. We've seen it particularly in Syria. How many people do we think could actually be still within the borders of Afghanistan, but forced out of their homes, forced out of their villages?
I would be hesitant to offer you an estimate at this point in time. What I will say is, up until before this current crisis that's been unfolding, Afghanistan has had, at least officially speaking, 3.5 million internally displaced people. And these Afghans displaced as a result of political violence, as a result of the ongoing climate crisis, together with unstable government structures, unemployment opportunities, as well as ongoing violence. So there's a lot of complex factors that have been driving people away from their homes. And we already had a significant number of IDPs or internally displaced people in Afghanistan. Given the current situation where people are obviously concerned about their future in terms of what kind of political configuration the Taliban administration will actually look like, together with people who have already moved from their homes in the anticipation that they might be able to leave Afghanistan, we are still probably looking at several million. And again, this is just an estimate at this point, and I would definitely look to official numbers, that calculation, as and when it comes out.
Tazreena, you've done some very deep research in this area. We can certainly look to some official numbers. Let's look to recent history as well. Where have Afghan refugees gone in the recent past?
Afghanistan is a country that has gone through periods of great political turbulence. And in the last 40 years, Afghanistan has not known a state of constant and consistent peace, which means in the last 40 years, many, many, many Afghans have been displaced. In the 1980s, for instance, there were at least 5 million official Afghans who were displaced from Afghanistan. That is, they were forced to leave and they could cross the borders. And the 5 million Afghans actually ended up in Pakistan and Iran. These have been the largest countries in terms of taking in Afghan refugees.
Does it break down by ethnicity or nationality? Do we see Hazaras being Shia going to Iran and Pashtuns going to Pakistan? Is it that simple?
It's not that simple. It never is. There may be, obviously, certain instances where, you know, people move as a result of complex reasons, and family ties, social connections, and sense of safety and security may create a network, an informal network that makes people feel safer to move into certain contexts where they feel that there is a cohesive unit that might be supportive. But Afghans are actually a people of various different ethnicities, of different religious groups. We often forget that Afghans are overwhelmingly Muslims, but we also have small percentages of Afghan Sikhs, Afghan Hindus, and Afghan Christians. And so we have to take that into consideration as well. People flee where they can flee. And so it's not a clear dividing line in terms of what we, in a very simple way, look in terms of a Shia-Sunni divide.
We're going to hear a lot. We are already hearing a lot about the pressure, in inverted commas, that will come on Western countries to take Afghan refugees. The reality is a lot different, though. Afghan refugees are going to flee on foot. That's only going to take them so far.
We tend to be Eurocentric or Western-centric in our worldview. We think the vast majority of people from any given context are moving either to the United States or to the European continent or to Australia. But that has never the case. That has never been the case. And it's certainly not the case with regard to Afghan refugees. Prior to this crisis, for instance, Pakistan was already hosting over 1.4 million registered refugees, Afghan refugees, for the last 40 years. And they also had a large number of unregistered Afghan refugees who were classified as irregular migrants. And then, of course, in the context of Iran, Iran has had close to about 1 million Afghan registered refugees, and again, at least about 2 million undocumented Afghans in the country. You know, when you actually tally the numbers in terms of the percentage of people who actually need sanctuary or the percentage of people who are actually able to leave a country across an international border, a very small percentage of Afghans have ended up in any of the Western contexts, even though there is a hysteria associated with this idea that there's a huge influx and the quote unquote wave is coming and it will be a tsunami of people or something that cannot be managed, cannot be controlled, and that will certainly be extremely destructive for the political stability of any given context in the West.
I wonder if there is not a geopolitical element to this, in that Pakistan already, as you say, has 1.4 million Afghan refugees and displaced people in its borders. If Pakistan doesn't want to absorb or thinks it cannot absorb any more Afghan refugees, could this actually convince Pakistan to put some sort of political pressure on the new Taliban government not to have a human rights situation that causes refugee flows?
First of all, the 1.4 million or 1.5 million Afghan refugees in Pakistan, that's the registered number, right? They're registered with the United Nations High Commission for Refugees. There's a larger number, perhaps, of Afghan refugees. And Pakistan also is host to other asylum seekers and refugees as well, but largely it's Afghan. And that's unregistered. So they live as irregular migrants. And so they'd have to deal with different levels of obstructions and different kinds of challenges because they are not authorized and they're not recognized in terms of their rights to protection, so on and so forth. But the extent to which Pakistan will be successful in and want to actually pressurize and negotiate with the Taliban, and that will end up in a human rights catastrophe in Afghanistan being averted, well, I think it's early days to make that kind of claim, because the Taliban is a strategic force. It's a complex actor. It has its own geopolitical interests. So till the dust settles, until we know what that political configuration is going to look like, people will still be fleeing for a while, or people will still be anxious and be displaced. And the extent to which Pakistan can negotiate unilaterally with the Taliban to resolve this, I think, is perhaps a little naive on our part to sort of assume.
When Afghans do manage to cross borders, where are they resettled? Are we talking about camps, or do people go into general populations? Are there special zones? Or
in any given refugee situation, there's only a small percentage, particularly if you talk about any country in the global south, where people are able to actually have access to documentation, that is passport and a visa, that they're able to actually have the money to be able to fly using an airlines to get to the destination of their choice. A vast majority of people have to travel irregularly. So you mentioned moving on foot or through other forms of irregular channels. And certainly there's been a lot of coverage in terms of taking very unsafe boats and dinghies, as in the case with regard to the Mediterranean. Refugees may live in camps in certain places, in certain kinds of, you know, villages along the borders that are largely dominated by refugee populations, but many of them also live as irregular migrants in city centers. So, for instance, in the case of Iran, there are about between 700,000 and 800,000 that are registered, and 96% of them actually live in the cities and towns and villages side by side with the Iranian host community, and about 4% live in settlements managed by UNHCR's main government counterpart within the Iranian government.
Dr. Tazreena Sajjad of the School of International Service at the American University in Washington, and this is the Religion and Ethics Report.